Welcome to the New Ideas Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Mr. Drew Hunthausen. Drew, why don't you take it from here?
Right. The sink in my hospital room baffled me. The keyboard at the nursing station silenced me. Then an elevator button pushed me back to reality. My friends, have you ever been jolted by an unwelcome revelation about yourself? This describes the day in the hospital when an elevator button pushed me to understand that I had been very sick and was now sitting totally blind in a wheelchair. It was an unwelcome revelation about myself that I was not ready for and certainly would not have chosen. Greetings, everybody, and thank you, Tanya, for the incredible introduction, as usual. It is always a pleasure to be on one of your telesummits. Recently, I spoke to a small group of students, actually at the principal of the school that I spoke at was a former teacher of mine, and it was a small group of visually impaired students at the school. And it was great to have done that. But apart from that, I got a lot out of it as well. Because while I was speaking to them, something came to me that I remembered back, because I think the youngest students were 9 years old, and it was mostly junior high. And that was the age when I got sick, when I was 11 years old, sixth grade, just going in junior high. And when I went back to school, I remember as a visually impaired in this special small group that I had not chosen that role, but it was a new beginning for me. And it was something, there was something very important about that that I learned, and I believe I was forced to learn that I cannot navigate through this world alone. I needed the help of other people. I needed my family. I needed teachers. I needed people like Tanya, people like all of you out there. You guys are helping other people along, figure out what they need in their lives. And it wasn't an eye-opener, because I knew that before, but to hear it from little kids, 9 years old, it was special when they're asking me a bunch of questions on my journey. My experience was when I was that age, but hearing them share their stories, telling me that they had just started to learn the computers, learn the special technology that I used, and how their teachers were helping them learn these things, and new beginnings for them. It was so powerful. Now I want to ask you, in the midst of your life journey, what are the new beginnings that you are identifying with, that you are seeking out? Because we all have them. We all have a journey that we are on. And I believe that there are certain things, certain essentials, I guess you could say, that help us identify these new beginnings and become successful. In my own life, I have learned many of these things. And I want to tell a story that I remember when I was 14 years old, and this was very soon after I lost my eyesight, after I lost my hearing, my pastor at my church had asked me to come speak to the congregation about tithing or about giving back. And at that time, I was giving about 10% of my $50 allowance back every month to the church. And I remember I was still wobbly on my legs, walking up, or I was led up, actually, to the front of the church. And I remember looking out of the church, you know, I couldn't see anybody. And the first thing I said was, if I could see all of you, I think I'd be really nervous right now. And it was great because they got a chuckle out of everybody in the audience. And it was that icebreaker. Got them comfortable looking at this blind guy speaking to them in front of the church. And I definitely would rather, even though I'm speaking over the phone, I can't see you guys anyway, I would rather choose to be able to see if I could right now. But on the other hand, I think I'd be a great speaker for a self-conscious nudist colony, wouldn't I? As I take you through my story, I want you to think about the new beginnings as well as the endings in your own life. What are some of the new beginnings that you can see in your future on the horizon? And remember that some of those doors that might be opening for you, you can't even see yet. And some of those doors, some of those things that might look like closed doors, look like ends, are not doors that aren't closed all the way and might just be opportunities that are just waiting there for you. Back in 1998, I was a healthy 11-year-old kid. I had a wonderful family, two great parents, and a brother, younger sister, and older brother. I loved sports, playing baseball, golf. I was just a normal kid. That all changed in February of that year when somehow I contracted bacterial meningitis and spent 3 very long months in a coma near death. I went from woke up after those 3 months, I was totally blind, hearing impaired, unable to even sit up. It took me 7 long years of physical therapy just to get to a fraction of where I am today. I went from that healthy 11-year-old kid playing baseball and golf to one who spent 3 long months in a coma near death, to a college grad, motivational speaker, best-selling author, and triathlete. My friends, it's been a journey, but I believe we are all on a journey. And in a way, I like to say we are journeying blind, because none of us know whether we can see or not what is coming next. We can't see into the future. One of the things that I like to tell people that it's so true is that the hand we are dealt in life is never the one we envision for ourselves. But with the grace of God and the help of others, it is a hand we can learn to play with joy, hope, and love. As I just mentioned, back in 1998, I contracted bacterial meningitis and spent 3 long months in a coma. I don't remember any of this, but about 10 days into all of this, after I got sick, the doctors had called my parents in for a family meeting and told them that I would most likely die. And if I didn't, I'd be a vegetable on a feeding tube for the rest of my life. Well, as you can see, or I guess as you can hear, I'm not a vegetable and I'm not on a feeding tube. The doctors were wrong. I didn't die. But when I did wake up from that coma, as I said, I was totally blind, hearing impaired, and scared to death. I was on a big road to recovery. And during that time, when I was in a coma, as well as after, I underwent many surgeries, as well as losing my eyesight and my hearing. And when I finally was strong enough, after about 5 months, to come home, I had to move my bedrooms downstairs because I couldn't even sit up in bed. And my sole entertainment at that time was to move my bed up and down with a push of a button. It was exciting. But I can remember lying there, feeling helpless in bed, yelling out to God, crying myself to sleep. What am I supposed to do with my life now? I'm totally blind. I'm hearing impaired. What is left for me now? I had all these dreams for the future. I thought I was supposed to be a professional golfer, a professional baseball player. And now I couldn't do any of those things. I really didn't know what was in store for me. I didn't know what the future held for this blind, hearing impaired, weak little boy. Well, the miraculous thing was that I would fall asleep with tears streaming down my face, only to wake up in the morning somehow with a renewed spirit. I didn't know where it came from. All I knew was that God wasn't done with my life yet. God had a plan for me. There was a reason why I hadn't died, reason why I was still alive. And I just have to have faith and keep moving forward. That's a message. That's something for all of us to keep moving forward in life. All of us have a plan. All of us have a purpose, a reason why we are still here. It's not always going to be easy. And I'm introducing myself in this way for a reason. Not at all to generate sympathy, but instead to make the point that all of us face challenges. All of us have struggles at one time or another. Probably most of you haven't endured or faced struggles that are the same or as significant as me losing all of your eyesight and much of your hearing. But the ones you have faced are just as significant to you personally. And if any of you, if you guys are anything like me, and I mean a human being, then there are those times where you have doubts. You don't know. Maybe you even say to yourself, can I really do this? Or maybe you feel like you want to give up. Well, I want to encourage you that we're all going to have times like that, but I want to encourage you to keep moving forward. Put a stake in that ground and say that I can do it. I have what it takes. One of the biggest things, the most important things that I have learned through my journey, through my illness, through my recovery. And this is one of the most important things. So please hear this. As I said, when I was falling asleep, laying in bed with tears drew down my face, just not knowing what I was going to do with my life, and woke up with that renewed sense of purpose. One of the things that I realized, that I learned, is that we all have a choice in life. We all have a choice every single day. When we get up in the morning, as to what kind of a day we want to have, what kind of life do we want to live? Do Do you want to live a life filled with promise, or one dictated by regrets, excuses, worry, problems? Because that decision is really up to us. Life is full of many chapters. And the beautiful thing is that as one comes to an end, either good or bad, a new one starts in the new. And you never know what's going to happen until that next page is turned. I want to tell you guys a couple stories from things, so to illustrate things that I have learned from after I first got sick. I was halfway through sixth grade when I fell ill, and I was homeschooled for all my seventh grade year. When I was finally strong enough to go back to school in eighth grade, I was so excited. But when I got back to campus, it wasn't without its own challenges. I was totally blind, hearing impaired. And yes, I was back with my friends on campus, but I wasn't able to get around by myself, and I wasn't able to seek out my friends. Have you ever felt isolated? Well, that doesn't even describe how I felt when I first got back to campus. I had an aide that assisted me to get to my classes and in between classes, but my aide didn't know my friends. I can remember at lunchtime wandering around, or maybe sitting at one place, just waiting, hoping, praying that some of my friends would come up and find me, that someone would even come up and say hi. Well, most of the time it didn't happen. And I got frustrated. I beat myself up. What am I doing wrong? It must be my fault that none of my friends that nobody is seeking me out. There were days where I would wander around trying to see if one of my friends would come up, but there were also days where I just had enough and I would kind of just give up and find a place to sit and just eat my lunch alone. I didn't know what to do. Finally, I had counsel from friends and family. I started opening up a little bit and sharing my feelings and talking to some people. And one of the things that was repeated over and over to me is that, Drew, it's not your fault. They're teenagers. They're kids. They're not seeking you out because you're different. They don't know how to approach you. They don't know what to say. And soon, I finally was able to come to grips that it wasn't all my fault, and it got much easier. The struggles didn't disappear. I still felt that isolation at times, but it was easier to keep moving forward and to realize that my true friends were the ones that were going to eventually seek me out. They were going to eventually find me, eventually come and say hi. But I had to have patience. As I said earlier, one of the main themes in my talks is that we can't navigate through this world alone. We need the help of other people. And that was so true. If I didn't have that guidance, if I didn't have the family, friends, counseling to let me know that it wasn't my fault, I would have kept beating myself up over and over again. My friends, whether in your business, in your personal life, I'm sure everybody almost everybody has times where they feel that isolation. They feel that maybe there's something they're not doing. They're just not enough. I want to encourage you to have patience, to keep moving on forward. The second story is something that I guess was a breaking point for me, or catalyst in my recovery. In eighth grade, as I said, that's when I first started back to school. But it was also something, a new beginning for me with swimming, because swimming was something that I discovered on a trip to visit my grandparents in Palm Springs, and they were visiting. I discovered that I could still swim. And that was something that gave me confidence to move on to some of the things that I have accomplished since then. It was a weekend, I remember, and I was sitting on the steps in the pool in Palm Springs with my grandparents and my family. My brother and sister were there with me. I don't remember exactly what happened to cause this, but my brother and sister asked me if I wanted to come out farther in the pool. And they each took one of my hands, and I was still on wobbly legs. I walked out, and I was standing in the pool. The next thing, I had one on each side of me. They asked me if I wanted to try swimming. They knew I could swim before I got sick. So very hesitantly, I said, yeah, I guess I could try it. So I started swimming freestyle, which is the crawl, just the normal standard stroke. And I discovered that I actually remembered how to do it. I had that muscle memory. And long story short, the rest of that day, you found me, if you were looking for me, I was in that pool, swimming from one side to the other. I discovered something that I could still do, despite my blindness, despite my hearing loss, despite my weak legs, I could still swim. And from that day on, I swam as much as I could. And then when I got into high school, I swam in adaptive PE. And the last swim meet of the season for the swim team in my sophomore year, the swim coach asked me if I wanted to compete in one of the events. I was very, very nervous. I'm like, compete in an event with the actual swim team? What do you mean? I'm blind. I'm hearing impaired. Well, with my friends, my family, they encouraged me, and I did. And I was successful. I wasn't fast, but I was successful. And that catapulted me not only to keep swimming, but that gave me the confidence to keep moving forward in whatever it was, my speaking, my school career, to eventually become a triathlete. And I want to encourage all of you to keep moving forward in your business, in your personal lives, because who knows what's coming next. As I said earlier, life is like a novel with many chapters. You never know what's going to be on that next page until it is turned. My friends, keep moving forward. Life is like a novel. And I came across a quote from Martin Luther King recently that I loved. And it was something I used when I was speaking to these students, to these visually impaired students. And it really hit me. I'm trying to remember what it was. I believe it was, life is like a staircase. I'm paraphrasing it, but it was, life is like a staircase. You need to take one step at a time. And it truly is. Life is a journey. Whether you can see or not, we are all journeying blind because we don't know what the future holds. And my friends, as you move forward in your businesses and in your life is like that novel, but we can't do it alone. We need all those people. They're going to help us take one step at a time, whether it's your friends, your family, or people you don't even know. Keep moving forward, for the best is yet to come. My friends, I have a free guide for all of you, the 5 keys to living a no-excuses life, filled with joy, peace, and prosperity. And I would love for you to get it at my website, drewsinspirations.com. That's DREWS, the word inspirations with an S.com. And you can get it there. You can also make comments or contact me. And if you think I might be a good fit to speak at any event you are having, or you know somebody that's having an event or a company, please go to bookdrew.com to check me out as a speaker. If you have any questions for me, I am here for the next couple of minutes and would love to hear from you.